Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Denver Sports Podcast. I always forget what TDSP is because we call it TDSP internally, and you see the graphic there. Presented by Broncos Country. You know what time it is on this special Tuesday in the Mile High City with my guy, RK, and Big Hank here. It's been a long time.
It has.
It's been a long time, boys.
Do you think the last tailgate episode of last year is the last time the three of us did a show together?
Probably.
Yeah, I don't think there's been much crossover in any other endeavors we've had.
No. Hey, and there's a bottle of whiskey and six beers on the table.
And some Broncos
just turn
country.
It up for old time's sake.
I've got to go on Albuquerque Sports Radio here in like a couple hours, so.
You drunk would sound like sober to them.
Albuquerque, they prefer.
I'll pass that along. Double check those for
it's
you.
Preferred. Yeah.
Can you spell Albuquerque?
Albuquerque.
Got it.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yep. Oh, of course.
I actually took last place in the fourth grade spelling bee, like dead last. And it was like the entire fourth grade like had to do it. It was mandatory because the word was dance. And so I was like D. And then I was like thought through my head like A and C E. But then I got to E right as I meant to say A. I said E. And I was like,
E-N-C-E is what you said?
Yeah. But then I got to, I said E and I was like, well, shit, like. I was like, I guess I have to just keep going, even though I don't know.
You can just say, let me start over.
No, they don't. They were very clear. It was like official rules. Like what you say goes. Like there's no take
backs. No.
So I took last place in that spelling bee. I was the favorite going in too.
No way.
Yeah.
What
crazy.
An upset.
Yeah.
You were on the inside track and everything.
Yeah, it was a shame.
I got second place in the fourth grade spelling bee, and it changed my life.
Really?
Wow. Because now Now I know how to spell everything.
Yeah, you are a good speller. No spelling bees in Italy, and I famously have real issues with spelling. So
yeah,
lose for me.
A lot of Italy talk today.
Did you get threats from any of the guys who placed money on you as the big favorite in the fourth grade spelling bee?
No. That's I'm trying great. To think, Miss Paget. No,
what sportsmanship,
Miss Myatt. No. No, I don't think any of the... No.
It feels a lot like a tailgate show in that we're supposed to talk about a Broncos team that's not playing such good football.
Also in last place.
And we don't want to.
We would literally rather talk about anything else, including fourth grade spelling bees.
Yeah, that's true. Fair takes all around.
Thanks.
And we're really good at talking about other things than what we're supposed to.
Life is one big circle and it all reconnects. But is this rock bottom for the Broncos, Ryan?
Oh, Dre. I wish I could say yes.
I would love it if you said yes, in fact.
I have learned my lesson on saying something is rock bottom for the Broncos. So I'm just going to keep saying no from here on out because I have a better chance of being right than if I say yes. Because if you go on to thednvr.com right now and open the search bar and just type in rock bottom.
Such a good site.
You will see so many podcasts that Zach and I have done over the years and Henry and Mace and whoever else was on the cast where we ask that same question. Is this rock bottom? And every time we said yes, I'm pretty sure. And every time we were wrong because no rock has sunk as far as that rock sank on Sunday afternoon.
Which is why this actually is rock bottom.
Okay.
There's no way that it's not. Like, so you have whatever the 5 years of like where it's a quarterback away, you just get a quarterback. So then you get the quarterback, that doesn't work. And you're like, oh well, now we're just a coach away. Now you got the quarterback, you got the coach, you've got the same team that you've had forever, still doesn't work. Can't really get any worse. Like this is like no, the plan does not work. You kind of have to start all over. And on top of that, you just gave up 70 points, like not NFL record, but second place. And you're like you lost by 50. Like this has to be rock bottom.
So. Right. I mean, that result is pretty awful.
Let me ask you this. What looks worse? The score line of 70 to 20 uh-huh. or saying out loud, they lost by 50.
70 to 20. 70. I think that 70 by grabs me. Yep.
By a mile.
Something about the 20 just makes it not as bad to me.
Okay. Hmm. I mean, it's because of all those 16s.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
For me, like, hearing right. when you said they lost by 50, right. it just, like, hit different for me. Yeah. It's like, wow.
Lost by 50.
Well.
Like, you pointed this out on Twitter. It was supposed to be a dunk on the Buffs, kind of. But you said CU's largest margin of error last year was 46. CU.
Yeah.
Maybe the worst football team I've ever seen in my life.
Definitely for me. Last season, I've seen a lot of bad football.
Never lost a game by 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about that.
When I even went back. It was like, you have to go back to 2013. They lost one by like 51 or 53. So I was like, as we're watching that Oregon game, it's
Arizona.
Like, you're climbing in there. Like, it's realm of possibility. But they dodged it.
It didn't end up even being close, but.
No.
46 was the worst last year. Losing a game by 50 points is shocking in college.
Yeah, no, I mean, and something I never imagined I would ever see in the NFL. I'll throw up the dub. Yeah, of course. What's that in reference to?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, we were talking about Gunnison off camera, so that almost made me think.
Western. We're talking about the transition moving from Milan to Gunnison.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one. So,
So what do you think, Dre? Is it rock bottom or not?
Well, so what Henry's saying is you hope that last Sunday is rock bottom, because I was doing some laundry during the game, kind of started a pregame, you know, going to get to it halftime. I was happy when the laundry machine overflowed and flooded a little bit of the basement, because now I had a reason to not watch the Broncos.
Yeah.
I don't anticipate, you know, like, that's pretty unique. I do 70-20. Love football.
I mean, it is scoregami.
Like,
it
that was a scoregami. I mean, unique. That game's quite unique. Hopefully that's rock bottom.
One of one.
I fear that Ryan may be right, because the only path forward is truly tearing this whole thing down. And when you do that, I kind of think they have to be this bad for like the rest of the season and another year-ish.
Oh, I mean, like, if the plan is tear us down, you're shooting for 2026.
Yeah.
Like the three-year rebuild is kind of best case.
They won't do it. It'll never happen.
I think it's more of a two-year. Well, and
my thing with all that is that I'm always against it, because it's never worked before. Like, no team has ever torn down. Like, you go back, and I guess, like, this current era, it's too soon to say, like, didn't work with Trevor Lawrence, didn't work with Joe Burrow. But, like, you go back before that, and, like, Peyton Manning did it as, like, the number one pick. Like, you got a Super Bowl out of that guy. I'm not really sure if they were, like, intentionally tearing things apart, but this whole like going back down to the bones and rebuilding it up, I can't find a single example of that ever working, though. And so that's why I've always been against it. But now you're in this situation where it's like there's no real other path forward.
Well, I feel like the Eagles kind of came out of the ashes ish in this
way.
I mean, from the dream team and Andy Reid, you know, like.
Okay,
I think Chip there's Kelly like a few. Yeah, I mean, there's a few steps, right?
Yeah.
Then you hit real rock bottom.
Well, yeah,
there's too many players on a football roster for that to work.
Exactly.
You can't go from zero. You can actually never get from zero to 100.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you tear it down to zero, it's not possible, even with all those draft picks, you're going to miss on half of them, to build back up to 100. So you can go down to a certain level. I mean, the Broncos could trade Justin Simmons and, you know, a couple other people. But you can't go to zero and then get back to wherever you were trying to get, because it's too hard to hit in the draft. So you have to keep players like Patrick Surtain, and you have to keep, you know, the Quinn Miners of the world. You have to build on top of them. Like, you added Marvin Mims.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance that ends up being, like, the only dog you got out of that class.
Definitely.
And it's just not going to work to tear it down and try to build back up. So I know that's like a fun.
And tearing it down means free agency, and it means, you know, you'll have guys who just out of sheer opportunity pop and go off. Like,
the
NFL rebuilds are much quicker than we think, you know. Even 3 years seems a little long. Like, I think it's really two.
I'm just comping it to like the NBA. If you want to rebuild in the NBA, that's like really easy. You trade like three players.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you're down to the bones, and you're going to get a top five pick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's just with their cap situation next year, Exactly. Like, what is the path forward if not cutting all these vets and trading them away?
And here's the example is that, like, you want the total teardown, which I do think if things go the way they're going right now, you're not going to really have much of a choice but to do that. So say you, like, cut or trade all these guys. Bowles, Simmons, Cortland Sutton, Randy Gregory, Tim Patrick, DJ Jones. That leaves you with $14.5 million in cap space next year. That's going into the offseason. That's what you go into.
Nothing.
Yeah, and
that's with Russ gone too, right?
Russ, it doesn't matter. You pay him the same thing whether he's there or not.
Okay, so whether he's a July cut or whenever the date is or not, it doesn't matter.
And that's kind of the whole other discussion is, what do you do with Russ? Because he's played up to his contract this season, which is an insane thing to say, but I was running through all the numbers. And
his numbers,
like,
are the same as Patrick Mahomes.
Like, literally. Yes. Like you go through and it's that's the exact same. Like, the one difference is that you've got, might as well run through, 791 passing yards for Russ, 803 for Mahomes. 7.6 yards per attempt for Russ, 7.5 for Mahomes. 65.4 completion versus 65.5. 6 touchdowns to 7, 2 interceptions each. Both have an exactly 99.5 passer rating. Like, you go through, that's and Russ is the number 5 highest paid quarterback in the league. The only one of the 4 in front of him who's outplayed him is Justin Herbert. But outside of that, Lamar Jackson has not outplayed him. It's not really all that close. Same thing with Hurts. Same thing with Burrow. And so you're getting what you wanted. Like, you go through, he's 5th in touchdowns, he's 6th in yards per attempt and completion, 7th in air yards per attempt, 7th in pass rating, 8th in yards. And while you're looking for, like, number 5, you have to remember those guys on rookie contracts who haven't set that rookie, So if you just go through guys who are off their rookie contract, he's 3rd in touchdowns, he's 2nd in yards per completion, 4th in yards per attempt, 5th in air yards per attempt. No, 4th, sorry. 5th in passer rating, 6th in yard. Like, he's doing what you want him to do, but you still kind of have to move on just because the timeline doesn't add up.
Well, there's just no point in being a 3-6-7 win team with a contract like that on your books.
But the contract's going to be on the books regardless.
Is on the books regardless.
For 2 years.
So
that's how much the thing, cap though. Do they have if they don't cut all those guys?
Negative 30.
So one way or another, what we're saying is this is the best this team's going to be with Russell Wilson.
Can I quickly make the case for the best case scenario?
Mm-hmm.
Which is that things keep going this bad this year. You are able to draft Caleb Williams, and you actually can hold on to Russ and ease Caleb in.
The thing about that Russ contract, though, is that the extension starts next year, which is crazy to think about. We still haven't even gotten into the extension. So you can either cut him and pay him for these next 2 years if you make it a post-June 1 cut, but then he's off the books after that when those cap hits keep going up.
If you
keep him, basically there's this 2-year lag. And so you can kind of either get it out of the way now or just keep holding on and say, like, 2028, 5 years from now, we're paying him full $60 million or whatever it is.
It's a troubling place. And I don't believe the Denver Broncos will ever tear down.
Teams just don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't happen because it just doesn't really work.
You talk about timelines. What's the other timeline here? Sean Payton's timeline.
Yeah.
He's not like...
He's 59.
He's not here to coach till he's 70.
You wouldn't think.
I think that when he took this job, he thought, give me 5. I'll be here for 5 years and I'll win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So that timeline has to either add up with a rookie quarterback this year or Russ being that guy.
Yeah. And
I have, like, nothing bad to say about Russell Wilson this year.
No.
He hasn't done anything dumb in the media. He's out there playing hard. I mean, he did technically cause the momentum swing in the Commanders game.
He did.
The last 2 second halves, like, he's accounted for, like, 3 points, I think.
Exactly. But at the same time, you have those first halves that balance it out.
The problems are so far and beyond.
The totality,
Russ.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they are, which is why I see zero path, but... I mean, call it what you will, but I would flip over this roster one way or another, you know?
Yeah.
It does not seem to be working. I mean, that performance defensively was truly disgusting. Mm-hmm. The first 2 touchdown drives, the Dolphins don't face third down once. The longest third down they faced, you know, the starters at least in the first 3 quarters, was 3rd and 4. God. I think they faced 3rd and 4... twice, and then 3rd and 1 2 other times. don't even bother lining up on the field if that's what we're going to do. Yeah. If you can't even compete on third down, if you can't even give yourself a chance, forget it. Like, you shouldn't have laced them up in the morning. Yeah. Just,
they could have run the ball on every single play of the whole game.
That's insane.
Or thrown the ball on every single play.
Whatever you want. Whatever you want. But, I mean, and the
they could do whatever they wanted.
To me, though, like, obviously you're trending toward, it's just like a total teardown. It is kind of still too soon to actually, like, commit to it. Like, it is only week three. Like, you're favored this week. You've got a game against the Jets the next week where, since you're at home, you're probably favored. Yep. And it's just 3 weeks in, it's hard to say for sure. And while it's tough to, like, I don't know. The season isn't technically dead yet. Teams have come back from down 0-3 before. Right. Hope is absolutely dead. But, like, you look through, I mean, 1989, Steelers started 0-2, had a 51-0 loss, wound up winning a playoff game that year. You know, there's the Titans that started 0-6 with a 59-0 loss in 2009. Yeah, this was like, I don't know what to do with myself after this game. Like, what other horrible things have happened to teams? Yeah. But they finished 8-8 after starting 0-6.
59-0?
With 59-0 against 2009 Patriots were pretty good.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, I mean, so there are, like, a couple of those examples.
Exactly playing the 2009 Patriots on Sunday.
No. Well, I mean, like... They certainly looked like it, but again, it's too soon for any of that. But
Tua and Tyreek equal to Tom Brady and Randy Moss?
If you only showed me Sunday and you only showed me the best Tom Brady Randy Moss game, I would say yeah probably
pretty much the same.
Yeah, but again, so I mean, you don't know for sure. You probably after these next two games, to me, is where you make like your decisions. Like, are you trading Justin Simmons? That's where that decision comes in. Like, do you think? We're sitting here at 1-4. We think we can just ride this tank. This team isn't going to get it done. You might as well move on from him and see if you can get anything else.
Internal ability to watch what happened on Sunday without Justin Simmons and say, like, we should trade this guy.
But again, like, and I had this.
Kareem Jackson felt about as essential in the second half of that Washington game, you know?
Well, like,
guy got ejected and the defense fell apart.
With all due respect to him, how on like the second or third play of the game does DTY lose sight of Tyreek Hill?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's horrible.
That's no. Like, I can only imagine the coaches were talking about number 10 the whole fucking week.
Yeah. You should hope so. And yeah, it felt like they did not when you watched the game. It felt like the game plan was to let him run wild.
Yeah.
And that he was an unknown free agent. Well, the crazy undrafted kid or something.
The game plan was to implement a 4-3 defense that week to find a way to get Drew Sanders on the field, which is just an insane thing to do. Like, you don't just all of a sudden say, yeah, we've run a 3-4 for more than a decade. Like, this is the week we go 4-3.
All your edges are just
really quick.
Can
you imagine, man, if Jaylen Waddle played that game?
The thing is, how could it get worse? Like,
yeah.
And I think just because like things just faster, play out differently, touchdown, there's no way that it's that bad even. Like just because like if you were to restart this game with a difference, there's no way that they can score 70
Jaylen
again.
Waddle
right?
would have been the best defense the Broncos could have had. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only guy who could slow down Tyreek Hill would have been Jaylen.
Probably don't run something
like, oh God, they're both so wide open. Who do I throw to?
But I mean, it is
so
crazy.
The question on Miami Sports Talk is, is Jaylen Waddle holding the Dolphins offense back?
Oh my goodness. Do you see the clip where like Skip Bayless has like his whole rant about how terrible the Broncos are? And one of the guys is like, I think it might have been Richard Sherman saying like, yeah, they didn't even have Jaylen Waddle in that game. And Skip was like, what? Like, and he just starts like looking around off camera. Yeah, he didn't even know, which is, he should probably know that, but also insane. And it's just crazy. And that's where,
First of all, I love Mike McDaniel so much.
Yeah.
He was my guy for a long time.
Yeah.
And then he just went and built a Madden team, and it's so sick.
And it's worked. He's 3-for-3 with it working this season.
He built like Jimbo's Florida State team.
Yeah.
This is,
give me the fastest player every skill position.
But yeah, like they had that last year. And they fell apart that second half of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see. Like,
because of Tua and the running back health struggled.
Well, yeah, Tua did.
Totally.
I don't think the defense was nearly as good. Yep. Jalen Phillips has seemed to have taken. And Jalen Ramsey's on the bench for them as well. Jalen Ramsey's coming, man.
I mean.
And they've drafted well on that O-line. The O-line, I thought, played great for the. I mean, who's going to disagree with me?
Yeah, like, when the running back scored 8 touchdowns, it's tough to argue that.
Yeah,
it's fair to say the Broncos aren't going to the Super Bowl this year, so. Give me Eagles Dolphins.
Wow.
That would be sick.
It would be fun. Dolphins are fun to watch. Yeah, but for the Broncos, like, that's the thing is, like, yeah, just go get Caleb Williams, do those sorts of things. First of all, I've never thought that, like, tanking, losing a game intentionally, anything like that has... I've always said, terrible idea. You never, ever, ever do it. This is the first time where I've gotten to a point where, like, okay, this team really is this bad. Maybe you do, like...
Do you subscribe at all to the conspiracies that Sean Payton was always planning on tanking?
There's no way. I love it.
There's no way.
It's genius. I'd respect him so much.
Like
I'm ready to commit to it the way QAnoners can make sense of the world, right?
Wow.
Like I'm just blindly ready to accept that.
There's just no way.
Because it explains a world that upsets me otherwise.
Like you can't tell the Broncos defense, like, hey, I just need you guys to go miss 23 tackles in this game.
No, you can't, but you can.
Right, those gaps don't just create. That's not coaching. Those gaps don't just happen.
And you can make a really counterintuitive hire at defensive coordinator, and
the number two option last year was Rex Ryan, like that would have been more insane than Vance Joseph. Like that would be less intuitive. Rex freaking Ryan. Like he's been on TV for a decade.
Yeah, they could have worked a little harder to keep Evero.
Yeah, it did seem like he wanted out.
Brandon Marshall, his best friend after not even a full season.
The thing is, like, they're just
his best man.
Vic Fangio, they couldn't have, you know, backed up the Brinks trucks a little more for him.
They should have interviewed McDaniel. Damn it.
So
many regrets.
He's not gonna turn Cortland Sutton into Tyreek Hill.
No, you know? But he traded for Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, that is true. Maybe he was able to get the trade,
bro.
Chiefs would have never made that trade.
Genius. No.
I was on that. I was producing the pod when Ryan was during that coaching search, and I can confirm Mike McDaniel was like your dude from the beginning.
I don't want to overcredit myself, but I think I might have been the first person in America to say I wanted Mike McDaniel to be the head coach of my football team.
Yeah, not many in America were talking about McD's. It's So what would your path forward be outside of a teardown?
I don't know.
Right. Okay. Well, fair enough. It's also fair. It's okay to say this is so fucked. I just don't know.
Like, to me, tanking is the only thing that I could get excited over right now.
That is true. It is the only thing people get excited
about.
It's
the only path I can see for.
And that's so sad. It's week three.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I know. My thing is football in September isn't real.
Exactly.
Football, this is preseason. We're overreacting over something.
Yes.
But then that happens, and I can't just sweep that under. Can't be like, it's just September.
Exactly.
Nothing to see here.
But like, now you're going, so like, rock bottom talk. Now you're going against the Bears this week, who are a joke in their own right.
It's the toilet bowl of all toilet bowls.
Yes.
But what's going to happen when you don't pressure Justin Fields? Because they can't get pressure on anyone.
I still think... that guy stinks.
Well, no, now
that guy just stinks.
I do think
at football.
They could get pressure if they're not terrified that they're going to get run on.
Well, why wouldn't they be terrified of that? They can't stop anyone.
Well, because the Bears are so bad offensively, I don't think they scare you.
Okay, if you're scared of the Bears,
if even the Bears can run on you, I mean,
I just think there's a chance that
I really don't know, guys.
I think there's a chance that we could be having a rock bottom talk next week too.
The thing is, and that's what Zach has been saying on the podcast is like,
no, that's what I'm saying. I think there's a 2-year window of rock bottom.
But
the very best.
Even if it's 70-20 again next week, this one's worse because this is the one where it's new. This is the one where it's like, I'm hitting you in the face with the fact that the Broncos just don't have it. Like, maybe if it's 100-0, then you're like, oh, maybe this is rock bottom.
Yeah.
But even then, it's like, well, we got to the second quarter and it was like, 28 or 30, the 30-0, and
it's like
you're just like, oh yeah, here we are.
Awful
again.
Things happen. The first one's the worst. Then we get a little desensitized, and we can move forward.
That's why,
it's a terrible condition.
It feels like there's no path forward. And that's where, like, just the desperation combined with a 50-point loss.
Lose 70-20 to the Bears, though. There's a path forward. I mean,
this is one of the worst parts of being an adult. Yeah. It's like, you have to think about these things, like paths forward.
Yeah.
Like when you're a kid, you're just like, oh, the Broncos will win next Sunday. And
exactly.
Like, that's all that matters to you.
Yeah. And now, I mean, because that's
where
I was.
I've never wanted them to win less.
Even a week ago.
This Sunday.
Like, I still thought the best case scenario is, you know, 0-2, you're probably not making the playoffs. You just accept that fact. But if you finish the season, say, like, you win 6 of your last 8 and finish 9-8, 8-9, something around there, you have some momentum. Then you're like the Lions next year.
To me, those 0-2 the stats next line. They all bring up, that's based on a 16-game schedule.
Also true.
You know,
also true.
So yeah, added a game, like,
yeah, totally. You have that opportunity, but you kind of have that like you still need to build toward the future. I'm not sure if like even a hot finish means you can justify saying like Russ is bringing you a championship in that window, and you still have that conversation about cutting him. But now you're at the point where it does feel like there's just no path forward. Like it's time to just say, yeah, we're trading Justin Simmons. Which again, last week I was totally against. Like me and Zach had this debate where it's like if you trade Justin Simmons for like even a first round pick, that first round pick's not gonna be as good as Justin Simmons. Like it's just the odds of that happening are very slim. And the problem with this team more than anything is that you're lacking really good players, like all pro type players.
Yep.
So to get rid of one of those, or even like the Sertan trades, like trade him for three firsts. It's like, I guess maybe it's tempting. You're not getting a Sertan with any of those, and the lack of stars is the problem because you can't get stars in the NFL. Like they don't become free agents. So but now you're just at this point where.
What scares me though is like the difference between number one pick this year and like the number two pick is so vast.
It's true.
It's a great draft. Top five's awesome.
And you're not the only team that might have the idea that they should lose.
Yeah.
Now I will just say this.
We might be more capable.
This always comes up. No players are ever going to try to lose.
No.
But you take Justin Simmons off that defense, I simply don't know how they're going to stop anybody.
Yeah. Because I mean, Caden Stearns is done. Like PJ Locke will be back.
Okay.
And in small sample sizes, he was one of the best defenders last year on the team. But again, very small sample size. Like the game-winning force fumble, that sort of stuff really helps that. But again, like there's a chance that he doesn't play all that well. You put DTY out there as your third safety. You know, you've got Kwan Williams coming back, which will help, but you're still gonna have Damari Mathis on the boundary, rotate Riley Moss a little bit. Like that should be an issue all season, you would think, based on what we've seen so far.
Having a bad defense in the NFL is one of the most hopeless, helpless things ever. We've been so used to it for a while, but like remember the early Peyton Manning years where they couldn't stop anyone, and it was just like, this sucks
again. And that's what I wrote after, like, I can't remember if it was the first game or the second game. I think it was the second game, or it's like, yeah, everybody's complained about bad and boring for 6 years. Here's the opposite. Here's the offense doing its thing, and the defense, guess what, it doesn't really feel any better.
No one's talking about the fact that giving up 35 points to Sam Howell's Commanders might be worse than giving up 70 points to the Dolphins.
No.
Yeah.
To me, that second half is a bigger indictment than anything.
Yeah.
Because for years, I've been like, well, you're not considering that they're playing from behind all the time. The team looks a lot different when you're not playing from. And then, holy shit, you had a 20-point lead.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
DraftKings Sportsbook, we're back for another week of football. Maybe you're a fade the Broncos guy.
Oof.
Who knows? I've had such good feel, Hank, on my college football picks.
Ooh. Oh my
god. Such good feel. NFL, not good feel right now.
Yeah.
Not good feel.
Back to back weeks. My stepped up parlay came down to the final leg.
You did it to him?
The week before it was the Arkansas BYU game, where BYU came out on top.
Uh-huh.
This week, it was the second to last leg finish at the beginning of the fourth quarter of the Minnesota game. Minnesota's up 14-0, start of the fourth quarter. They blow it and lose in overtime. So I've been so close back-to-back weeks on that going through, but the last leg.
Hank will get there once and for all. We know it.
I'm due.
And if you're a new user, bet just $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NFL. That's when you use code DMVR. That's our code, exclusive to you. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in Connecticut. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort, Kansas. Licensed partner, Golden Nugget, Lake Charles in Louisiana. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario, of course. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility terms and responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
I don't know if I've won a game since, or won a bet since Nebraska, but I won so much on TCU and Nebraska that I'm good.
It's truly wonderful. We're so happy about it. And I know you guys are really happy to be at Folsom Field this Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Watching who's coming down? Caleb Williams?
Yeah.
Is he of interest to Broncos fans perchance?
He is.
Which is crazy. Sean Payton will be in attendance.
Dude. I mean, that's why you're going, right? Hank, as a Broncos reporter, you're going to do some scouting. Potentially the best quarterback in this draft against the best quarterback in next year's draft. And that's why Trojans coming to Folsom is our game time game of the week. Oh, you know game time. They only way you can get tickets. Best. It's the only way you can get tickets because they're sold out. Sold out for the whole season.
Yep.
Right now, cheapest you can get, I think, is in the 340 range.
Really?
You got any tips, Ryan?
You should have got season tickets.
I tried. I got denied.
Oh, that's true. Well, you're not a you're not a Buffs fan.
No, there you go. Go Buffs.
They're trying to keep people like you out.
I'm not sure if I'm the one they're looking
time,
for.
Game of the week. Download the Game Time right app, create an account, and use that code DMVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DMVR for $20 off.
Also, I would currently... $2 tickets for the Rockies game tonight.
Yeah, wow. No, that's a good deal.
A flash deal, $1.
That's not our game of
you
the week.
You could buy 150 tickets to that game for the price of one ticket to see USC.
Wow.
I actually think you could buy 300.
I would just get the USC ticket.
No, 311 is the cheapest thing. He said $2, right?
No, there's flash deal, $1.
Flash deal, $1.
Oh, man. So you can buy 311 tickets.
Yep. Wow. Still go to that USC game. I'm so upset I can't go.
Wait,
that would be awesome. Chicago.
Oh, yeah. You're going to the Shy.
I thought we got you a flight later so that you could go.
But I had already had to turn down the ticket because I knew that I was leaving for Chicago.
Damn you, Shy Town.
Yep.
It's all right, dude. Just go to Johnny's Beef and you'll feel so much better.
Johnny's Beef. Yeah, there we go.
J-O-H-N-N-I-E. Not the Y. You need to go to the I-E, Johnny's. Uh-huh.
Why? They just need different names there. That's not a good strategy.
Well, when you name every restaurant after just a guy.
Yeah, well, go by John.
A lot of
then.
The names are going to get taken.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fair enough.
It's like
fair
in The
enough.
Office. I wish I could remember. Alfredo's. Alfredo's Pizza. Yeah.
Whoa.
Or Pizza by Alfredo.
There
we go.
That's really good. That's really good. Great callback.
I love that show.
Talk some Buffs. You guys got more Broncos in you?
No, let's go Buffs.
Really? Let's go Buffs. Yeah. Magical first 4 weeks of the season in Boulder, I'd say.
First three were certainly magical.
They were.
Yeah, last week a little rough in Eugene, Oregon.
It was rough.
So, Ryan, what do you make of it all?
That's your tee up for me?
Yeah.
What do I make of it all?
What do you make of it all?
I just did two reads. I'm navigating through your Broncos thoughts. Like this one, you talk about it every day. I'm not giving you some elaborate...
Yeah, we were just talking about great quarterbacks, and then you just threw me a hospital ball.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, I mean, from a perspective standpoint, which is what everyone needs in this life.
Wow. We are big perspective
it
guys.
It has been unbelievable. Everything has been bigger and better than you could have ever expected. The ratings are off the charts. The sales are off the charts. Every game is sold out. The fans are re-energized. There's new fans popping up every single day.
Wow.
Because everything got so big so fast, the loss to Oregon feels like this big thing that happened.
Well, what's crazy is for a second, even I had a moment of like,
exactly.
Going into the Saturday, maybe they're like Cam Newton's Auburn.
Yeah.
Like maybe they really are this team that like wasn't in a bowl last year and just found the quarterback and out of nowhere are like, or TCU last year.
Yes,
you know,
TCU
like,
last year is a perfect example.
That true Cinderella type story that can only happen in college.
And we as humans are naturally prisoners of the moment. So we all had that thought. If you're rooting for Colorado, you had that thought of, okay, well, if they could beat Oregon, they can beat a USC. And if they can do that, they can beat anyone.
This was the one.
Truly,
this is like
everything's in front of you. Yeah,
I have the bet on them to win the Pac-12. And I was like, wow, I might make a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, and you go through and you're just like, hey, you won all three of these games. Maybe those were legit. Maybe TCU is still good. Maybe Nebraska isn't the worst Power 5 team. Maybe like Colorado State, like they're frisky, you know? And then they go beat Middle Tennessee State. But
Nebraska
yeah.
had a good Nebraska, win, and TCU had a great win against SMU. Who some people thought was going to be frisky and upset them. That's what's funny is I think people have overreacted to the Oregon game. Which I get it. It was a really tough loss.
To me, it was just a take a step back game and realize what the expectations were for this team. You know, and I've been sharing little clips and stuff that I just have saved of things people were saying before the season. You know, there were like Cover Three, the biggest college football podcast, had them starting 0-3.
Tough non-conference.
You know, Mike Farrell had them said that 3-9 is their best case scenario. So it's one of those games where you take a step back and you say, okay, what are we looking at here? What are we talking about here? This team is so far ahead of schedule on what they could have been and what a lot of people thought they should have been that you just have to take that one and just rinse it away and say, of course they lost to Oregon at Oregon. I think Oregon at Oregon has won 27 of their last 28 games in that stadium.
Especially in conference. That's just such a tough matchup, man. Like, you don't come to Eugene and come away with a dub on quite often.
It just would have been nice to see him play a competitive game.
For sure. Oh,
yeah. Like, that's where... Because it's the same thing that's happened. I mean, I started watching 2019 when I first started covering the Buffs. And I think that game was like 45-3 or something like that. And that's... I think this is like the fourth time that they've played since I got here. And every single time they play Oregon, it's the same thing. You go to Oregon, they just beat your ass, and then you come back. And that's what was so disappointing is you go into that game thinking, if you can just keep up with Oregon, like if you beat Oregon all of a sudden, like you're saying, they should win the Pac-12. Yeah. This is the toughest game for them. But if they can at least keep up, then you say, okay, they can keep up. That means they'll have a good chance against Utah. Yep. It means like USC you're in really good shape for at home. And so to go from that to, oh, this is the same Buffaloes team from the past, you know, 3-4 years is just what's such a killer.
But it's not. It's definitely not. That game is like a massive overcorrection, in my opinion. Things went really wrong for them. They didn't have their best player.
True.
Like, it's a really, like, no hater or whatever you want to call them.
Their two best players. It just so happens that those two players are in one human being's body.
Yep. And so, you know, no one wants to hear that on Twitter because they got their ass beat.
Yep.
But it makes a huge difference in terms of what you're talking about, in terms of, you know, covering the spread or just being in the game. Could have been different if they had their best player out there.
It's possible.
I don't think they're going to win. You know, he's not a 36-point difference maker.
Torrey Franklin isn't cooking him the way he was.
Yeah.
And the offense maybe gets a little rhythm. I think that's more concerning than the defense. Honestly, it's the offense and lack of rhythm that they've had the last 2 weeks. How much some pretty good defensive fronts have put in a bind for.
And even going back to the Nebraska game.
Yeah,
like they struggled to get anything going at the beginning of that game too.
Well, then you forget. I mean, shit, the TCU game, like they have two interceptions in the red zone. You know, like,
and here's what I'll point to: the TCU game. They go out there, they force them 3-and-out, and then I think they go on like a 12 play drive down the field.
Buffs do.
Yep, pick them apart. In these games that you're talking about them with their slow starts, their no rhythm. They haven't had like 12 plays in the first half. And so what happens is
it's been very hard to sustain momentum.
Yeah, the rhythm, you never get an early rhythm like you did in TCU. I mean, Shador is cooking by like his fourth throw of the game. He's already feeling himself. He's in his bag. Since then, they haven't had a good first offensive series. And because of that, they're not getting that early rhythm. So I don't think that's my concern is, hey, you just find a way to start fast. You know, what's your script? You know, call up Kyle Shanahan. Let's put together a great script for this game so that Shador can get some early rhythm.
Or Boulder's own Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, there you go. Or Mike Shanahan lives in Colorado. But you know what I mean? Like, you got to get that early momentum. I just think it's a step back game and zoom out game.
Yeah.
They're not ready for that yet. Coach Prime told us they weren't ready for that indirectly by saying, I need 7-8 more dogs. You know, when he said that, he wasn't saying we're going to lose to Oregon directly, but he was saying, I need 7-8 more dogs to be able to compete at the level that everyone wants us to compete at.
And I think you saw how good the starters were now that, you know, a few guys are missing. Your starting center might not be 100%. Travis Hunter's a huge loss on both sides of the ball. Some of these guys haven't quite been developed, you know, quite up to speed, and you're having to throw them in. Cormani's even getting some reps by the end of the game, and coach has told us he's not ready.
Yeah.
That's year one stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we haven't had time to fully develop, to fully build up our depth. These guys have only been in our program for 5 months.
Some of them, yeah.
You know, so it's that there is an adjustment. Now, I think this can still be a team that has 3 wins in the books
and could aspire to 6-7
I do too.
Wins, right? And I mean, still be getting top 25 votes and 8-9 wins might end the season ranked in the top 25.
They're in
so
my
what's the path? And also, how do you does Shadour survive? Because that's my biggest concern is 2 weeks from now, Shadour, all the hits add up, Shadour's not playing, and with another quarterback, this is gonna feel and look a little too much like last year.
I completely agree. And I was just about to say
that I can't have. I need Arizona State, I need Stanford, I need these wins. I need to get into November and give a shit about bus football. That would be really nice.
And I think you will, as long as they keep him healthy.
Yeah.
To me, this is like a survival game. Now, I think...
USC next week.
Yeah. I think that Colorado... I think what you're going to have happen is everyone overcorrects on Colorado, right? And now they're going to everyone's saying, oh, they're going to lose by 40 to USC. Now they're at home. It's a lot different than being on the road. I think that this game will look different than last week. Mm-hmm. But yeah. at the same... In the same sense, after this, you get Arizona State, you get Stanford, you get UCLA, and then, you know, you go into that home stretch. But it's like, to me, this team, because of Shadour, will be in every game that they aren't as outclassed as they were by Oregon. Oregon obviously had equal or better talent at almost every position, and it showed, especially in the trenches, and especially without Travis Hunter on the field.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's like... You keep you got to keep Shadour around to play Arizona State, who you might end up being favored against, or it's going
to
be a close line.
I'd expect
Stanford. You know, that's some would say the easiest game on the schedule.
Stanford's including Colorado State. It is by far the Stanford. They barely beat Hawaii, man.
They lost to Sac State.
Yeah, like, Stanford is easily worse than Colorado State.
So then you get UCLA. UCLA, you know, they're 3-1
freshman
just like
quarterback.
You. Freshman quarterback. So, you know what I mean? Like, get through this one. Hopefully build a little bit of momentum offensively. Find a way to protect Shadour. Do whatever you have to do. Leave two tight ends in and, you know, hope that Jimmy Horn and Zay Weaver can go win one-on-ones for you or one-on-twos.
Yeah,
but
no, truly, man.
You got to protect him, and then Shadour will keep you in every game. He really will.
I cannot disagree. Future feels very bright. I'm really excited to see the rest of the way USC at Utah, the two games that scare me.
And like zero people before the season would have picked them to win that, those games.
Yep.
No, it was 3.5 was the win total.
Yes.
3.5
Yep. I think, you know, 6-7 from the start, I've said 5-7
I know. And that's where I went on the Buffs podcast this summer, and everybody was all pissed at me. I was like, yeah, I think, like, fringe bowl team definitely hit the win over. And that's, I don't know, that's what was so crazy to me, is that, like...
It just depends on who you're talking to, though.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Fans are going to expect their team to win every game.
Yeah. And, that, I mean, that's where I was, too, and that's what was so disappointing. Like, all week, like, I'm going to Broncos practice, and, like, Alex Forsythe is in there, who was their center, Oregon center, for the last 3-4 years. We're talking about it, like... you know, he's saying like, yeah, you know, I think Oregon has it. I really hope so. I'm not sure if the defense will hold up. I think offensively they should be able to score a lot of points. And it's like, yeah, right there with them. Like talking to Will Sherman, former Buff, who's pissed at me for saying like, yeah, I think Oregon probably wins like 42-38, something like that. And, but that's where we were like a week ago is like Oregon fans, like scared of this game, Colorado fans upset that somebody would say, oh, they're not probably going to win this one. And to go from that to back right here where it's like, I think, you know, every Pac-12 game is going to be a challenge. Where they fit into the Pac-12, I don't really have a strong opinion. Like, if they wind up right behind, like, Utah and USC is, like, the clear, like, maybe number four behind Oregon 2 in the conference, I would be like, yeah, it makes sense. If they wind up, like, in front of Stanford but not many other teams, that also wouldn't be a huge surprise at this point. To me, it's almost like there's just this fresh start. I have no idea where they fit
in. I think, but... You're also forgetting that Travis Hunter will be coming back.
That is true.
Also, how they stack up against the middle class of the Pac-12, you know, forget Arizona or Arizona State and Stanford, but, you know, Arizona, Oregon State, Washington State. UCLA even. Those feel like really nice tests. Washington, thank God they do not play. Washington's unbelievable this year.
But here's now that Caleb Williams will be off the schedule. When Travis Hunter comes back on the field, he'll be the best player on the field in every game.
That is true.
And that can win you games, especially when you have a quarterback.
Yeah. It's just the part that stinks about college football. Crazy. Where
that's true.
Like, I know the expectations are what they were. You want them to like go to a bowl game. And that's obviously a huge step in the right direction because they've been to one, I guess two in the last like decade. But at the same time, it's like, ah, damn it. They aren't going to do it. Like, the Cinderella run is kind of just, that part of it is over, which is a shame.
Unless they go win this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. One loss would do it. The party's
back on.
One loss would do it.
You can get by with one loss.
Well, and styles make fights. Like, Oregon concerns me. USC concerns me less. Like, I think they're both kind of more finesse teams. Oregon was.
Exactly.
Jeez, Oregon looked a lot like Georgia.
Yeah.
Like a power football team. That was great.
And that might be the real thing we learned is that Oregon is like legit. Mm-hmm. Because they have the talent to compete with anybody.
And I've always said that, and I should have thought about this more last week, but, you know, I was caught up in the excitement, too.
They look bad against Tech, man.
The older your quarterback is, the better you are in college.
Do you think
Bo Nix is in, what, year six?
Great point. True.
He is so seasoned to be able to go and know exactly what he's looking at in every game. Like, not a lot of teams. I mean, look, you know, Max Duggan last year was super old. Having an old quarterback in college who also happens to be really talented like Bo Nix will take you a long way.
It's like an old point guard in college hoops.
Yeah. Totally. That's the other thing. That's the only thing that concerns me long term about the Buffs. Just like Shador. How long does he stick around? Like, hopefully it's for next year too. But then after that, you have to figure out like with
Bryce Underwood was in the building.
What?
Bryce Underwood, number one quarterback in the country. Was
yeah,
there
you,
for,
you that's
gotta
nice.
Recruit. I
that's
mean, you nice. Gotta reload and keep at it. Mm-hmm. I see you looking at some odds. I would love to come back to that.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, the future's so bright. Shady Rays in the house. Yes. Obviously, with all these live games these guys are going to, beautiful Colorado sun. Hank's going out to Chi-Town next this weekend.
Yes.
To watch the Toilet Bowl.
After
you scout Caleb Williams.
Yeah, so I had some of my friends came up for the CU Arizona game.
From Montana.
Yeah, like
sunny area as well.
A couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
And that was called like the pillow fight of the week by ESPN because it was when both teams were terrible. And now those friends in particular just don't have any interest in going to CU games because of that horrible experience. They actually wound up choosing to go to the Broncos Raiders game over CU Nebraska.
Oh, tough.
Same price
tough
for tickets.
Choice.
Like,
oh,
just insane to do. But because of that, they were just like scarred. I forget where that plays in.
Yeah. Sad. Shady Rays, though, can make even a terrible experience like the Toilet Bowl that Henry's friends came to attend.
And we'll be going to this weekend.
More bearable. I love Shady Rays. I have like six pairs. They're like actually good glasses. They have great lenses and they are half the price of designer sunglasses while being the same exact quality. Use that code DMVR and you will get 50% off 2+ pairs. That's 50% off already insanely cheap designer quality glasses. I love Shady Rays. Such a great deal for our listeners when they use code DMVR for 20% off 2 pairs of polarized glasses. Try it for yourself. Shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Great customer care. They'll take care of you. And of course, the homies at Breckenridge Brewery, Broncos Country. They need like a Buffs beer. But I always enjoyed the good Broncos Country. It's one of those where, you know, like, by the third Broncos Country I'm having, it's going down so nice.
Yep.
Also,
you're
buzzing.
It just
hits the spot so good, and you are feeling it, which this we might need a little more this Broncos season than others.
True.
Not Henry. Yeah. He's in the press box.
Yeah,
that is true.
Doing hard-hitting analysis.
I actually haven't been drinking for a Broncos game yet, even though I haven't been working either.
Right. Broncos Country.
I need to rewire myself.
Breckenridge Brewery, they're doing amazing stuff. Check them out. Breck Brew, beer locator, as always.
I should go to that Jets game. Just get tore
up. Yeah, that's going to be an ugly one. To me, that's the last one before you, like, that's the one where you really learn. Like, is the Broncos team, like, awful, like, number one pick, or are they, like, they're, like, number 24 in the league?
I mean, we'll find out this week, too.
We'll find out this week, too. You got this 2-week stretch.
These are big weeks. I don't know if I can even do it, guys.
Yeah.
I might be too old for, like, oh, let's tune into Broncos Jets to see who's really absolute ass, you know?
That's a crazy thing, because Vic Lombardi went on a Twitter rant the other day about how, like, when I grew up in North Denver, everyone was in the house for the Broncos
game. I feel the same way sometimes. Yeah,
me too. And then there was like a big pushback on him that was like, Vic, like, people should be able to do whatever they want with their time. Don't shame them into watching the Broncos, which, like, sure, you're right. I literally cannot imagine at all, no matter how bad the Broncos were, doing anything else on a Sunday.
The only Bronco game that I've missed was a Drew Lock game against the Chargers when I was in Boulder for a soccer game. I was like, I gotta go cover the soccer game. Like,
I think he went off that game, bro.
I think so. There was something that happened in that
game.
Was
that the crazy comeback game?
Yeah. Maybe. I watched that game at the Lakewood office with Dre, and we had some wild takes after that game. COVID.
That might have been at the Texans game, Kale.
Oh, the Texans game. That was Drew's first start.
Texans game was...
Maybe the most fun Broncos game.
The vibes off that game carried me for 14 months, probably. Yeah. Like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Texans will always have the Texans more touchdowns.
I think that's like the Simeon's only game Cowboys I missed in my life, though.
That's crazy, bro.
Like, there's, I think so.
And that's what I mean. Like, I understand this idea of, like, you shouldn't be a prisoner to your team just because, like, but, like, I just personally cannot relate to, like, being like, oh, yeah, I'll take you up on that tea time. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't shame anybody at this point for not wanting to watch, but
I can't relate to it whatsoever.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, no, it's how we build out our Sundays.
Exactly. It's how we build out our weeks, our months, our lives.
The Buffs, the same thing. I mean, the Buffs have been, at times, the worst college program. I was at a party in college when they played Fresno State, and we're down 35-0 after the first quarter.
Oh, God.
And I watched the whole game alone on the couch at the party. Like, I just don't know how to not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. It's great, and it's sad. And I mean, what were you looking at, Hank? Tell us a little bit about these Pac-12 conference odds. Then I'll talk some Rams.
So I just pulled up the, did you say talk some Rams?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What? I didn't agree to that.
They just beat Middle Tennessee State.
You
guys
got to look at these rundowns I sent you.
You sent me a rundown?
I did.
Where?
In Slack.
Yeah, so I was looking at national championship odds. Oregon's 20-1.
Hell yeah.
But in terms of the Pac-12.
I'm going to, I need to nibble something.
USC plus 240, Washington plus 250, Oregon plus 260, Utah plus 600, kind of crazy. Colorado plus 8,000.
Yeah, Utah is actually a good value. Washington, hammer away. Washington's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious. It's such a shame. I could have cashed out my CU Pac-12 title bet for like a solid gain. But now that opportunity is gone.
That ship sailed for
it. It has.
Yeah, they're no longer inclined to get you
goodbye
out of that
$15.
Bet. Yeah. Yeah. As you guys alluded to, the Rams. I did want to talk about some Rams. I think they found their quarterback, and I think they'll actually be competitive in a wide open Mount West, which is super fun and cool, because not talking about three-win Rams teams is going to be really nice. And also, since you guys seem a little lukewarm to the idea about this, how do you feel about this fun proposal of promotion relegation in a Pac-2 Mount West merger plus the Dakotas? Huh? Have you heard about this?
I'm just going to
throw you a little bone here. Quarterback looks legit.
No, BFN's awesome.
Good for him. Mm-hmm. It does bring up some questions about Jay Norvell, why he didn't start the first game of the season. But, hey, you know, you learn from your mistakes and fix them.
Clay Millen's like the all-time 7-on-7 quarterback. I could get how in a practice setting, Clay threw you off.
Huh.
Yeah.
Clay threw Jay. There's a little Clay Jay. You know, the names are...
He transferred with him from Nevada.
Right.
All that stuff. Anyways, that was just my thing. I was like, how did he not start week one?
Yeah.
Anyways, promotion relegation. That sounds fun.
It does, right?
Will never work.
Yeah.
Well, so it would only work in football, obviously.
No. You mean football, like English soccer.
No.
for these programs that would be joining this crazy league.
You couldn't do it for all the teams.
The other sports, they just have to be in the, like...
Sorry, soccer team. Like,
in the, like, you're just...
Football team lost.
Football team
like,
sucks. You're going right. down.
Like, have soccer fun team. In North Dakota.
Soccer team, you just could be in the...
Get ready to learn Chinese.
In the Pac-Mount West. In the Pac-Mount West. But where football makes sense is... I mean, A...
Is that Sacramento State?
Could they wiggle an auto bid out of this? Because at least your top tier conference, it's based on like media. It's based on performance. Who's up there? Mm-hmm. So winning the Pac-2 would have a little more value.
No,
right?
They cannot get an auto bid out of this.
I think they need to get rid of the auto bids altogether. Like I get.
12-team playoffs. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, so it's 12-team playoff, and it's supposed to be like the...
still will have auto bids.
Yeah, the Power 5s get auto bids, and then there's one power
four. The Power 4 now.
So they change that? Is that how it works?
Well, no. We haven't figured that out yet. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. It's like, but if I'm the Pac-2, I would be like, hey, we're already sorting this out, making sure the best of the best is up top with us.
Definitely. But see, that was my point all along, was that like just don't do the auto bids. Just say like top 6 conference champions. Like that, like open it up because
the highest ranked.
Exactly.
I like that.
And like that makes sense. And they decided
top 6 conference champions and then the other 6. It's like free.
Exactly. And so initially they decided against that because like, I think it was because like the fringe conferences were like, well, we're not voting for it then. And so they decided that it's actually just the Power 5 plus there's like the extra. But now that all of this has happened in the past, like 2 years since they decided that, it kind of makes sense just to say, you conferences go do whatever the hell you want. Like take whatever teams you want. Top 6 champions get to come in.
I like it. Or you could do top 5 or whatever. Like,
yeah.
It makes a lot of sense to me because I hate when a team, you know, like we've been going back and forth with UCF fans since the Buffs joined the Big 12.
Oh,
why?
Gus Malzahn.
Cause they're in there too now. And like they, I don't know. They're a chirpy little fan base.
Huh.
UCF's great.
But I hate when a team like UCF doesn't get an opportunity because of their affiliation. Like when they were undefeated.
Yep.
Like I wanted to see what would happen. Let them play Alabama. Let's see.
When they were undefeated and beat Auburn, the only team that beat the national champion Alabama, you mean that season?
Yes.
They're my national champion.
I hated that they didn't get an
people's national.
Exactly. They're the national champion UCF.
They actually
whatever
have
they
that national championship up in their stadium.
Oh, I believe it. Like that's crazy. They made shirts and stuff. I have friends who
bought
shirts.
I thought we were doing the shirts as a bit.
What kind of knights are they? They're golden knights?
No, that's how college football works. You get to just claim national championships.
That is not how it works.
That's how it works
for sure.
Okay, well the Buffs should just put every year up.
But that would de their claim to the actual Natty.
Fair.
They can't do that.
They won the national championship, so
they did.
But no one's saying they didn't. But even there, some say a share. You know, it's contentious, Ryan.
I know, but UCF doesn't get to put that in their
shirt. Yes, they do.
No fucking way.
They didn't lose. You get to claim that. Oh, yeah.
No, it's sad. But truth be told,
the voters said they're not good.
Those other claims.
Anyways, I wanted them to be able to play.
It's split polls.
They should have been in the playoff just so we could have known for sure.
Yeah.
So I want a team like that to get in and you know, make sure that
there's
going to
be a G5 auto bid. Could the Mount West be the, you know, a real front runner for that G5 auto bid with this promotion relegation?
Maybe if they get the Pac-12 teams to join the Mountain West and just call that a G5 conference.
Also,
they could.
Isn't there a path for Washington State and Oregon State just to be their own like 2-team conference for a few years and rake in cash?
Yeah,
that seems like the real move. Because I'm pretty sure
isn't that Pac-12 deal up? How would they be raking cash in?
I don't think they would rake in cash, but they would get to make their own schedule.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you got to find like a TV partner.
Yeah, but you still
someone will take them.
It's like you could go off and do your own Broncos podcast. You just wouldn't have our sales team helping you sell ad space on that podcast.
It's the payouts from the NCAA tournament shares, because those are spread out over 6 years. So all of the appearances over the last 6 years, that money's still going to be on the way. I think it's like whatever. It's like $2 million or so per game that the Pac-12 played, that's cut into sixths, which is then divided into twelfths, but now into halves. Wow. So it's a surprisingly large amount of money, though.
That's amazing.
And they could probably get a streaming deal with like Apple TV or something just to play their games.
I wonder. Yeah.
It'd be really low, but I just...
Like, it'd be better than Mountain West money. What? Because they get, what, like 1.5 a year from their TV deal?
Is that it?
It might be even less.
I think it's a little more than that.
I don't think it is.
I think it is.
I'm fine with the national championship shirts. It's just putting it up in the stadium crosses the line for me.
They believe it, Ryan. They believe it.
I don't think they actually do. But they're leaning into the fact that they believe
Yeah,
it.
I mean, it's like...
They don't think they were going to beat Alabama
it's
that
like
year.
When I'm using slang that I'm actually mocking by using it, but then it becomes such a part of my parlance that I end up using regularly the slang that I was originally mocking.
Or it's like when you just lie for so long that you forget that you're lying.
Right. My lying bits do. Sometimes I forget what the truth is and what the lie is. It's like that. It's a bit that's the bit has just become reality.
I'm pretty sure that was like Tua and Jerry Jeudy.
They're
Alabama.
Just great bitsmen.
Do you know how many teams are in the Mountain West?
Yeah, I do. I do. Hold on.
Okay.
10.
10.
Yeah.
So then each gets $4.5 million a year.
Yeah, good for them.
Yep.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Solid. I'd take it.
I think that Washington State could probably get more than that. Just solo deal with like sling.
I think so. No. Maybe not sling.
I don't think there's hot money right now. Wow. Well, this was a joy.
Pleasure. It's over?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Didn't feel like we ended.
No. Nope.
Kale slacked me.
I guess I'm out though.
Kale slacked me a couple of minutes ago that we'd done 58, so I figured, yeah, why not?
Cool. Well,
I feel like we exhausted that.
Yeah.
We exhausted that topic. You guys talked Broncos. Wow. A little meat sandwiched in there on the Buffs. Meat. Great times.
Let's go.
Did you know that like people who eat a lot of protein die sooner?
Wow, that checks out.
Yeah, so next time we have
everyone.
I should slow it down.
But
probably.
There's like the meat diet. Like those are like, oh no, you're dying like real young. But then like the vegetarian, yeah, yeah, like.